This week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I have the lovely Sir Peter Your Pleaser. Hello. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Wicked. How are you? Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's lovely to meet you. For those of you who are listening,
likewise.
We've not met before, but I have come across... what shall I call you? Sir Peter? Pete Peter?
Yeah, so just as everyone, I think just as everyone, you sort of regret doing some things in your name. So mine was actually fully geared for GWA. I wasn't on Reddit before. So I wanted to go obviously with Peter. And then I thought the sir and the your pleaser would give a good indication of the content I do. So, but a lot of people call me sir, and I really not a big fan of honorifics. So Peter's absolutely fine.
Okay, we'll go with Peter then. That's great. Thank you for being here. I came across Peter's contributions to the naughty audio space not too long ago, actually, after a particular script fill that I thoroughly enjoyed. So yeah, so welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about how you contribute to the space and of the like?
Sure. So, I mean, I've been on GWA fairly recently, to be honest. My first audio, at least verification, was 5 months ago. And I always had just the aim to do sort of VA type of contribution. And I think over the past 2 months, I've geared up that a bit more. So doing VA work, and then gradually I'm trying to get my hands also on the script writing. So, more and more. And that's because, you know, some scripts I can't really find exactly what I want. So I try to, you know, do collabs with other writers, proper writers, I would say. And then, and we'll see if, you know, it's all about sort of the right balance, I think, between getting VA stuff out and sort of qualitative, you know, work as well. So,
and how are you?
My experience.
Great. Well, how are you finding this whole sort of space? So 5 months, you say? And that's 5 months since you posted your first audio itself?
There was my first audio was posted, and it probably had less than 100 listens. You know, I had like one or two subscribers after that. So I can tell you it was pretty inconclusive for me.
Were you nervous about posting? Not really, not at all.
I didn't have any issues with that. It's more than I got a bit busy, and I just left it on the back burner for 3 months before going back to it. I wasn't really convinced the GWA platform was, you know, would allow me to get content out that much. And then after I found the scripts and did script fills, and then I just sort of had fun with the scripts themselves, and I just focus on that. And then gradually you get in touch with other writers, and, you know, there's sort of a snowball effect. So that's been a very positive experience. I'm glad I gave it a second go, basically.
Yeah, particularly after having a three month break, it would be easy just to say, "Oh, it's not for me," or "It's not what I, you know, what I wanted."
Yeah.
Why did you begin recording? What's your motivation for contributing?
You know, my motivation has always been I enjoy dirty talking. Mm-hmm. I enjoy reading. And I enjoy doing both at the same time. So I've always had friends, and it's basically friends who sort of pushed me to get some stuff out. They always told me I had sort of that audio book voice. I should try to give it a shot. So
have you done any vocal work prior to this?
Never before. No.
Really? Okay. That's really interesting.
I'm not a singer. I'm not an editor. I've no experience in that. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just had a little look around your profile over the last day or so, and noticed you've reached a milestone follower count of 500 followers in really, I guess, the last couple of months,
which is probably tiny compared to
look, we all start somewhere, you know, we all we're at that point at some stage.
Honestly, I feel that after like 100 or 200, like, you just close your eyes and you've got like people listening, so, and that's what's the most important.
Yeah, I agree. With that, in the content that you create, are you focused on sort of not safe for work or safe for work or a balance of both, or what do you primarily create?
I honestly, it's really, I'm not really focused on a specific area. I've done a little bit of pillow talk stuff, just because I was curious about, for example, nightmare comfort, and because I've been told that a lot of people go to sleep with my voice, so that was the feedback that I got. I'm trying a bit those, and those are fun. But yeah, I mean, it's mainly GWA sort of content, not safe for work. I don't have any issue with that. There's a few tags which I have, I want to stay away from. But as everything, it's a moving goalpost, I would say. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
limits and boundaries always seem to be, I don't know, not flexible, but can fluctuate and evolve,
Yeah,
like you
exactly.
say. Yeah. Has the content that you've created changed in your time as a listener? Were you a listener in this space before you started to create?
Wasn't I mean, I've always liked sort of the audio porn category, but I wasn't, I wasn't on Reddit, and I wasn't, I not specifically seeking it, but I was also always very receptive to it. So
And has any of what you listened to influenced what you choose to record then?
I try to listen to a little bit of everything, to be honest. So for example, I really enjoy recording JOI scripts. And I think it's to do JOI scripts, you can't just look at M for F. And I think the F for M's are quite different. And I think there's, I think women and men have different qualities in how they try to capture their listener. And I just try to listen, to different people, and how they approach it, and try to pick a bit of what I like. So that's how I do it.
So you're kind of looking to that as a guide or other recordings as a guide for your own production?
No, yeah, curiosity. I'm not trying to copy other, what other people do. I'm just trying as I said, I'm sort of new, so I'm just trying to see what other people do, and see what suits me, really. So I think you just have to stay true to sort of what you do, and copying other people is just a hassle because you never really get there. So
Well, and I guess people don't want to listen to copies of other people. I guess that's kind of what a
exactly.
cover version is really, but yeah, no, I'd much prefer to hear you and each of the individual creators that I listen to, not sort of copies.
Yeah, and I have a very slow-paced type of voice, so that doesn't it would be difficult to replicate others. So.
Well, perfect for a JOI type, for that genre, I guess. Would
Yeah.
and comfort audios as well, anything sort of pillow talk wise. So has being in this space as a creator actually changed what you listen to? Because we've got such a diverse range. It's like a smorgasbord of things that happening in every day. I'm amazed. It's just like that. What's that about? What are those tags about? It's
Yeah.
just like, oh, what he did the what to the who and the what? Just things really fascinate me on almost on a daily basis. Has that sort of changed for you, or are you exploring different things that you may not have prior to coming into the
Yeah,
space?
absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of for me, what I find fascinating is that you kind of get an inkling of what other people's fantasies are, and it allows you to sort of try to understand what are your own. And capturing your own fantasies is very difficult, I find. You just have to really question yourself. Yeah, there's a lot of genres which I'm slowly opening my eyes to. Yeah, the yandere and things like that, which I never really knew of. It's interesting. So I mentioned, there's some tags which I don't want to do right now, and the part of them are sort of the rape tags and things like that, because part of me is, thinks that I just want to make sure that everyone is 18 plus, and if I do that type of content, I would, potentially I could feel uncomfortable doing it. But at the same time, I can see it from a fantasy standpoint, how it's, you know, how it's interesting. And the characters are very interesting as well. So that's where my interest sort of lies, is more the character development for the VA type of work. So we'll see.
I agree. There are things that, likewise, Yandere, I had to look that up. I was just like, what does that mean? Because I kept seeing it regularly. And also, likewise, the rape tag is, I think it's contentious.
It's a loose definition. And it's a loose definition. So yeah. I say that I would never do a rape tag, but I just did a script where it was labeled rape because we had suggested blackmail. So I've already broken that barrier. There you go.
Well, therein you have to put that in, right? And listeners may not be aware of that. And I did a somnophilia. And just like, well, and somebody commented, said, look, I saw the rape tag and normally I wouldn't go in for that, but I listened to it and there's no actual rape. And I said, yeah, but it could be interpreted as that because there's no actual consent because that person is asleep. It needs to be safe, but
I think it's good. It's safer is good. So on that one, it was a collab with another amazing writer, and we put basically all the caveats also in the post itself, sort of saying that this is very different from the work we typically post, and so just make sure you check the tags. So
absolutely, like even hypnosis is, you know,
needs to be
tagged rape it's a fine line, and I guess that's why we have, you know, we need to also offer the or label the script offer within the post, so if somebody perhaps doesn't want to hear it but they are intrigued, they could actually go and read the script and have a better understanding of how the audio develops and what happens during it. But I similarly, when I first started out, rape was like, nope, absolutely not. And also for me, I don't know about you, but incest is a hard no for me. But I do, personally, I perform a lot of mommy dom type of things. But that, again, is a fine line between role play actual incest. I don't know. As long as it's tagged properly, I guess everybody is aware, it's transparent what you're getting into. But interesting that you've sort of evolved a little bit into that sort of space. With regards to you recording and posting publicly in space, is that something that friends and family in real life are aware of? Are you able to share that, or do you want to share that, or how does that sort of work for you as a creator?
Yeah, I don't particularly want to share it. I think for the, it's quite personal. But I do have a few friends who know and who've listened. Some people tell other friends and don't say what their username is. So for me, I've disclosed. I've sent my links.
Yeah.
And
how was that received by friends?
Fine. No worries.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but it's a very small group. You're better off keeping kinks for yourself.
Sure.
Because people who don't understand what it is really, they sort of judge you on stereotypes, and then you get into an endless discussion. So
I guess it's got the potential to be misinterpreted, right?
Exactly.
The unknown. Are you looking with the content that you do contribute, are you looking to capture a particular audience, or is it more so you're just doing it as your own outlet, as your own creative expression, as your own sexual outlet? Or are you trying to cater for a specific demographic of listeners?
It's a good question. I'm not trying to target a specific sort of niche of listeners. Mm-hmm. First of all, the stuff I do is pretty generalist. I mean, it's sort of MDOM, gentle MDOM roles. Mm-hmm. I would be hard pressed to do very aggressive roles, the way I speak.
Sure.
That doesn't mean the content isn't aggressive, you know, cannot be perceived as aggressive, mm-hmm. at least, you know, from the vocal side. But no, it's more about what I want to do and sort of, yeah, my own choices and the scripts and the writers who I want to, work is not the right term, but
no, I want to collaborate.
I want to interact with. Yeah, exactly. Collaborate. Yeah. Yeah. That's a better way to put it.
So, and have you found that it's been beneficial for you? Because you've done a couple of scripts so far, created a couple of scripts in collaboration with others?
Yeah, exactly. So some collabs, the recent one I did was, can I mention some
names?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, I'll put links in the post.
So I did my very recently. I just did two collabs. One was with Dahlia Folia, Dahlia Folia, who's an amazing writer. And honestly, in this one, it's more I came up with the idea, and she wrote it. I mean, she wrote it all out. And then brilliant. I chipped in on some ideas, some edits, etc., to also cater it more to the way I can phrase it.
Okay.
And so it almost feels like a commission there. And then there's another, you know, there's another collab I did with Peaches Affirmed.
Yes.
Where we did a JOI script, and there we really sort of split the writing.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's
so it's different things, and I'm working on a couple other ones. So.
Oh wow.
So yeah, it's a snowball effect. I think what the thing is, once you put more content out, gradually you get in touch with writers and they listen to what you do, and they, you know, if they like what sort of, you know, your voice, and they think it's a good fit for their scripts, then they sort of, you know, ask you if you're interested in doing collabs, etc. So I think the one positive effect of putting content out is it gives you an opportunity to work with writers, which isn't the case when you're, you know, brand new and don't really have anything of substance out. So
your first post was a script fill?
No, my first post was a narration. So I got it all wrong because there's very few narrations, and it was just a 5-minute narration.
Yeah.
That I wrote, and that was it. Yeah.
Oh, I adore a narration, very much so. I wish there was more of it, and to the point where I'm creating a separate channel to a separate platform to just do narration. Record narratives and of the like. But with that, so you're basically, are you doing sort of a mix of script fills and original content?
It's all about time management. Yes, so the part that I enjoy the most is obviously doing the voice part. So doing the voice part doesn't necessarily take that much time, and it's a shame, because when you see the amount of time writing does compared to voice, it's so unbalanced.
It is.
But then there's also the editing part, which I'm quite new to it. And before I used just to do it very simply on my phone in one go, and that was it. But now I'm trying to improve a bit the quality and background noise, etc. So
it's a work in progress. You're evolving.
Yeah,
it's
a work in progress. I'm just trying to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Because this is just for fun. And I think if you complicate things, it becomes inefficient, and then you don't, you know, you're getting bogged into the details. So I'm never going to do detailed editing.
Right.
I might throw in a bit of special effects here and there, but just at the beginning of the audio to put people in the mood.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be able to do amazing editing, and I don't have time for that. So I just rely more on the voice.
Sure.
And for recording, you know, I do it on my phone.
I've got a
good mic. That's it. I hook it up with an adapter, and when I started, I just did it straight up. So even 40-minute audios, I would just read, sort of cold read, and record it, you know, in one go. But I found out doing that, actually, you're not able to take a lot of risks in the way you do your voice stuff. So, because after, you know, 20 and 30 minutes, you don't want to stumble on words and fuck it all up. So especially if you don't edit behind. So I found out that when you being able to edit in Audacity, you're able to cut out and sort of repeat and take more risks. Yes. And yeah, so that's how it works. So
yeah, that's almost a carbon copy of how I produce. I'm the same cold read, one take raw. And yes, on the, when you get to that 40 minute mark, it's like, don't fuck
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, like, don't fuck it up. So, which means that you're not taking any risks, in the way you pronounce things. So, I can do the cold read just because I'm a fairly slow pace, speaker. Mm-hmm. So you can almost sort of read ahead what's coming up in the script.
Yes.
But when I say I don't do any cold read, I basically read the first couple of paragraphs just to make sense, make sure that I like the writing and it's going in the right direction and I get the context. And then I'll just try to check where's the orgasms and things like that, just so that I know how to pace myself. Not to get too excited too early.
Don't peak early is the other thing I find.
Yeah, exactly.
When we get to those lengthy scripts, I have recorded a few of A Secret Beast's scripts. One is we're currently at 14 parts of that. And in the beginning, they were quite long. They're around that sort of 25 to 30 minute mark. And I was just cold reading and just hoping it didn't fuck it up. But also, there's more than one climax point in the majority of that particular series. And I'd find, I was like, I'm exhausted. I'm just like, I'm at number three and I've got nothing left in the tank because I have peaked early, but I cannot stop. I have to keep going. But yes, likewise, I learned the very basic art of clipping out, you know, of isolating any sort of mistakes or anything. And at best, I will do that. But yes, anything more than 30 minutes, whew. Yeah.
I think the longest I've done is almost 70 minutes.
Ooh,
so
wow.
That becomes a full-on story.
Almost... which one you're referring to. Yeah. I haven't listened to your... This is your imaginary friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't
listened. See, you didn't have time for it.
No, I do. I fully intend to listen to it. I've listened to another fill of it. But yes, the blessed Tina does not write a short script. And I know you're listening, Tina. I know you are right now. she does not. I know, you know I adore her. But she does not write a short script. So that's some stamina.
But I mean, the stories are, I mean, the character developments are really nice because I think in long stories, you're able to have your characters sort of go through different phases and you know what I enjoy about all of this is sort of doing the voice part. It's not so much, you know, it's not so much the reception. I mean, the reception is nice, it just gives credibility to what you're doing.
So
long stories like that, you're able to go through different phases with the voice, and that's wonderful.
Yes, especially with such a developed character in that particular audio, which was an exceptional piece.
She's an incredible writer. Yeah. So when you have amazing writers like that do long stories, it's just a treat. So the length of audios doesn't scare me at all.
Yeah.
It just requires more editing, and at least in her scripts, there's no special effects, so it's just cutting. So you don't have to do anything.
So you mentioned, so you record into a mic, but it's adapted to your with an adapter to your phone. Is that right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Wow. Which I guess is great in terms of you can record anywhere. Or do you have a set recording space?
Yeah, I think, and then it becomes more, you know, what's the background noise and things like, what is it, the sound feel good? And in my case, my fixed computer is in a location next to my windows and there's too much noise from the street.
Right.
So I found a place where the room is small enough and has enough textiles to sort of create a decent background noise. So
And is that something you'd look to develop, that space, or just while it's fun and a hobby, just you're content with where things are at?
No. I'm really doing this for pleasure, and I have no aspirations. So I want my audio feel to feel very close.
Yes, quite intimate.
So,
you mean?
You know, for yeah, exactly, intimate, and I want people to hear my breathing and things like that. That's what I'm just focused on when I try to speak up. And I don't want to change that. And likewise, I don't want to change the setup. I want to keep it simple. And I don't want to, this is something I do for as a hobby. And I don't want this to become like a source of stress or anything. So,
particularly, I guess, if it is that sort of creative outlet. And like you say, if you enjoy reading, then this whole space is enjoyable then for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's also a way to improve your dirty talk. So I enjoy it. So.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm excited.
So you're
to
raising
see
your game.
Yeah. And to be creating your own original content together with somebody else as well.
Yeah, the collabs are wonderful.
Yeah. Elevate it to another level. Would you consider doing a collaboration with another VA in like a, you know, a two part?
So that's a yes and no. I don't think I would want to do right now. My barrier is doing sort of cyber sex with another VA. So I could do a collab which doesn't involve sort of cyber sex, you know,
sure.
If, for example, a dual sort of JOI script, which is one I'm considering right now. But yeah, a bit my barrier is doing, I don't know. It's for my own sort of, you know, my own barriers. I'm okay with having vocal sex by my, you know, with one voice.
Sure.
I just, you know, right now I wouldn't want to have sort of two voices to give the wrong impressions. So it's just
Oh, it's your comfort level. It's like you say, it's your limits and your boundaries. And if you're not comfortable, we just don't do it, right? Because it's, let's face it.
Exactly.
It's all free.
And that might change. But there's an awesome script again from Tina, which is a MMF, and I have been discussing with another male VA, who's you know, I'm not bi, he's not bi, but we thought the script was good, and we have been discussing around doing a potential fill. So yeah, the idea is there. I think it's the MMF is sort of underrepresented.
Do you mean
so
MM4F? Yes.
Yeah, MM4F, but the script is MMF also. So it has a different twist than just being a MFM, if you see what I mean.
Yes, I do. The order of those letters makes a difference.
They do make all the difference.
Yes, it is. Okay. Well, that's interesting. It's great that you're, you know, sort of potentially sort of expanding on your, you know, sort of participation within the space and within the community. Are there any particular writers, and I'm not asking for names or anything, but ones that sort of stand out to you or have this sort of, I don't know, like I kind of find personally when I find a writer that I really dig their stuff, you know, their words they write resonate like quite deeply with me. So I, you know, keep an eye out for, you know, new content that they create and post, and I kind of chase it.
I mean the people I post, the people I follow on the GWA, there's very few. There's probably like 20 people, and it's basically 10 of them would be writers. And the other 10 are people sort of I sort of, you know from the community that I also follow. So it's a pretty nimble group. I think after if I follow more, at least I have trouble tracking. So
And I guess it all always comes down to your availability and your energy level, and also just that the balance of I find this is very much a rabbit hole that I can quite easily disappear and lose hours of my life in, you know. Finding that balance, because did you find...
I'll tell you that though, on the writers, I think it's nice also to branch out to different ones, because fairly recently there was a new person who verified and who posted immediately her script, and it was a good script, particularly for someone who's just, you know, sort of new to the GWA community. And I thought it'd be nice just to voice that one and post it, you know, because we have to also make sure that people who join also have a good experience, and getting a fill immediately is, I find, was a nice gesture as well. So you have to...
So you're looking to support others, other creators.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's very pay it forward like. I think I know who you're referring to actually. And I likewise I keep an eye out for, I love listening to verification audio.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah. Just like, hang on, does that voice work for me? Does that, you know, tick my that's
and
a voice.
You see, by the way, it's always the same people commenting. So there's definitely there's a couple of people who are always so kind, sort of to embrace sort of newcomers and commenting and sort of, you know, because when you're new, I mean, this is
it's pretty daunting,
it's super,
right?
Nice, you know.
Yeah. It can be quite sort of overwhelming.
I don't know. It's more that if you put the effort in, you want to make sure that someone is listening. And so the people who comment immediately give you comfort that you're going in the right direction and that you're going to be heard. So
interesting. Yeah. Have you felt isolated at all? Because or no, you felt quite like supported and embraced within the community.
It's a tough one, right? Because bottom line, you're still by yourself. Yes. Having sex with your microphone.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
So I think, you know, it doesn't really change. So isolated, not really, but I think over time, once you get to know a bit more people in the community, you get to ask questions around editing, around, you know, if you want to do a collab or a script, you know,
with someone
script,
yeah,
where you do with someone, how does it work out, you know, to get the logistics right, and that's for me is the support. And also the support is, you know, if you have a question to a writer about their piece, you can reach out and ask question around it and and get an answer. So I've never hesitated to reach out to writers.
Good. That's great.
But for the most part, you don't really need to. I mean, there's a lot of indications in the script itself on you know, how to approach the character, etc. So
yeah,
good.
I always find particularly scripts that are filled multiple times, I enjoy listening to different interpretations of the same words. And sometimes there can be such a vast difference can almost sound like two completely different audios, yet, you know, the same content.
Yeah, I'll tell you, because I always do longer audios, unfortunately. and so I always look at how much, you know, what's the length of the audios that the other people do. So, you know, if one I take like 40 minutes, the next one is like 32 minutes, you know, and that's a huge difference in terms of pacing. So it's interesting. Another, you know, a few times you have people who do it even longer. So that means the content, they change it slightly. They have more or less pauses, more or less moanings and things like that. So yeah, I think it's great to be able to compare. It's not comparing, it's not the right word, but it's more being able to see how other people approach it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's I think even if we're referring, like, partly just as an example, imaginary friend, there's a significant sort of difference between I think there are three. Are there three fills of it? I don't know, I can't remember.
Is it three now? I know there were two at some point.
Yeah. But yeah, there's,
and there's different accents as well.
Yes.
You know, there are some accent spores out there. So
Yes. Yeah, very, very much so. I farm out to anybody who will do it a particular script, but I it's only short. It usually comes in between 6 and 7 minutes. One of them came in at 10 and I was like, what are you doing for the extra 3 minutes? How slow are you? Are you improving at the end?
I might have an idea there.
What are you doing at the end? Well, let me think about that. Or in the middle or somewhere in there, there's an extra 3 minutes.
Yeah, you're not going to be repeating words. So
No, but yeah, that always interests me. Just the different approach. Like you say, different accents. Oof. Yeah,
different accents. But I think also the use of silence and pauses and breathing and moans is super important. And that's where the length sort of goes on and on. I think for me, I find that super nice because it gets you that closeness to the person. I mean, if when you speak, if you hear the way they expire and inspire, it's quite powerful.
Those small nuances of, yes, of that, like you said, the breathing, and that creates such an intimate and almost like an intense immersion into, because it doesn't get much more personal than hearing someone actually breathe, right? I find that somebody, a friend of mine, did a 25 minute recording of them just breathing as part of a comfort
series. That's interesting.
And I can kind of understand the need for that, or the not need, but how that would appeal to a large range, particularly during, like I often refer to in these sort of chats, you know, the change in the space since the pandemic, and, you know, the isolation that people may be experiencing, with whether it be with lockdown or just general isolation from other people, and having that connection and that care and that comfort. I think to have just a track of somebody breathing could create an incredible sense of comfort that, you know, perhaps we didn't even know we needed or would appreciate. Does that make sense?
Exactly. And I think, you know, you also have to think through what type of content you're consuming and in what context. And I think visual porn, you know, you can consume it in different ways, but audio porn, you're closing your eyes, you can be in a meditative state, and it allows you to get more into the brain, into the intimacy, etc. So I think you have to play around with it. You can't completely omit all these things to make it. You can make it really a complete sort of experience for the listener by doing that, by creating that intimacy, which you can't get from visual porn.
No. It's quite, like I say, intimate, and the intensity of it, having someone there in your ears, you know, breathing, who could essentially be beside you as you drift off to sleep or in whatever situation, could really make such a difference in a person's day or night. I think what I appreciate about your content that I've listened to is that slower pace. And I think that's quite an art in a way, that, you know, an approach that I don't hear a lot of in this space. But then having said that, I'm very particular about who I put in my ears and that slower pace. And I know for me, because I naturally talk quite fast, it's an effort for me to slow down, but I've noticed over my time of recording that slowing down, actively slowing down, it just creates a deeper level of connection with the words. And like you said, you have the ability to read.
Exactly. Actually, yeah, so it's easier to read, first of all. But also I think it's your goal is to put the words at the forefront, not so much the voice. That's how I see it. And your brain as a listener cannot process words that are just thrown at you very quickly.
Yeah.
So if you go very slowly, you give an opportunity for the listener to hear the background sort of voicing, breathing and everything. It just, you know, that becomes secondary. And it's all about the power of the words. And with my voice, the way I see it is that I have a very smooth, very, you know, monotone voice, which can sound like, okay, you're just trying to put someone to sleep. But when you look at the words, that's just so crude, it creates an opposition or a dichotomy, which is super interesting.
It's almost like a conflict there. It's like he sounds very gentle, yet... Yeah. What he's saying is not gentle at all.
Yeah, it's just like so dirty.
You know? and I personally, I love that is something that I search for is a gentle dom approach, because let's face it, anybody can yell and scream and be aggressive and read those
words. Not sure I can.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You never know.
Never know.
But your interpretation of your own script, Phil, I thoroughly enjoyed the slower pace of it because I did focus on the words rather than how do I put this, physical response. And because you really absorb it, you really take it in because, it, like you said, it's not being thrown at you. You're not being talked at. You're being talked to. So,
yeah,
I very much appreciate it. And there's only maybe three or four that I have found that work for me personally. I thoroughly enjoyed your personal script, Phil. Is that something that you're sort of thinking you'll do with the scripts that you write, or you collaborate with others to write, that you'll fill them yourselves? When you write them, are you looking at them? I know you said you're trying to create content that you want, but do you think you'll always fill them?
Right now I'm looking to do content which shamelessly I can fill myself. So I know most people write to hear, you know, they want to write what they want to hear. So in my case, I just want to write what I want to say. So it's slightly different.
I like that though. I if you can't find it, write it, you know, make it yourself. But I don't know about you and the writing process. It takes me an age to sometimes.
So I'm really a slow writer, which hence the collabs.
I love that you're taking matters into your own hands and creating words that you want to say, not necessarily words you want to hear, and that's the difference. So, and great that you've been able to connect with writers and reach out to writers and perhaps speed up that or expedite that process or expand on. And are you finding with the script that's created at the end of it, you think, oh yeah, I understand that a bit better now? Or are you taking
I mean, some writers are able to add so many dimensions to the characters you had in mind. It's fantastic. So particularly gives you ideas for sequels and such. So it's good.
Oh, okay. And is that something you're sort of interested in creating, like potentially a series or creating characters that can sort of transfer between one audio
I'm not a writer per se, right? So sure. I don't come with that bias of, you know, I want to create something with several series. I want to really develop that character, etc. But sometimes you just find a character which you find interesting and you just feel you can really squeeze it in within 30-minute audio. And that there's other things you could do with the same characters. So you just have to make sure the ending gives you an opportunity to do another piece with the same characters, just to explore that extra bit that you can quite capture.
Yeah. Wow, that's I agree with you. Just I am so in awe of script writers in general, but I do have that element in my process personally that, and I do work with a couple of writers who's just like, okay, well, what if that character then went and did this, and then maybe we could do another one and they could do this, and that's I've got the impetus for the ideas, but getting it down on paper is another thing.
It's really hard.
1,500 to 2,000 words.
Well, if you limit, you know, some people don't limit themselves to that, but I think the reality is that you have script writing and then you have writing, and a lot of the script writers on GWA are actually very legitimate writers and professional writers. So they always have that urge to develop the storyline, develop the characters, and that's something where it makes sense to have a multi-part sort of series.
Yeah. Even in some of these series that I've done, I have that. When I go to record the next in series, it's like I have to really sort of tap back into that character. And they're all of the characters that I do are some sort of aspect of me personally, because I need to have that connection with a script to really, you know, make it authentic and genuine.
What are you looking for in a script? Is it more the writing or that it matches sort of what you like?
It matches what I like, but it's got to be believable for me. So I'm an ex music teacher. So I do a lot of teachers. I am clearly somewhat older. So I do a lot of older woman, younger man type scripts, because that it personally appeals to me.
I think you mentioned something interesting is around the audience, and there was a survey I think that was done, and basically you see that there's only sort of 2.5% of people above 40, and I'm nearing that.
Oh really?
That threshold.
Where's that report? I need to read that report.
I'll send you the link.
Can you? I've often wondered how the demographic breaks down, the age demographic.
Well, it's 18 to 25 is the super majority. So and the tail end is very narrow. The one in which we're in. So.
Oh, I'd love to see that breakdown. Actually, yes, and. I know it's a, whilst I guess if I think about on my, the age group that seems to be the majority of my listeners, I seem to hit sort of the mid 30s pretty well. They seem to sort of get up in my DMs and want to have a chat, and which I find interesting. Have you noticed any particular trend in the people that respond to your audios or comment or message you?
Not I mean it's usually the same active listeners, which is nice, and then sort of some people sort of pop up with, you know, once upon a time with a comment, and it's great, you know. Comments are super nice, right? I don't have any issues with my DMs. They're usually pretty quiet, so
I mean, look, even that in itself is great. I think not that I'm adverse to receiving messages, as long as they keep it classy, and recognize that we are living, breathing human beings as well, and there's we're all humans up in this space. I'm very interested in reading that report. But yes, in terms of what I look for in a script, it has to be something that I can connect with. Otherwise it's just a performance. There has to be something that appeals. How about yourself?
It's the character. It's the character, and first of all, is my voice suitable for it? I cannot do a super aggressive, you know, yelling sort of,
doesn't appeal to you, or you don't think you can? It wouldn't be believable.
I would struggle to get there. You know, because I think in reality we have our real life voice, and then you've got your microphone porn voice, and then usually not too dissimilar. I don't think the sound quality is dissimilar, but it's more the pacing. And I enjoy doing that slow burning pace, because I know I can sort of capture the listener that way. So switching to a super aggressive, you know, sort of yelling, etc., with a British accent, I don't know if it's really a great fit. Never say never. We'll see. But it's more my own limit, where I struggle to be believable if I take a very, I can be mean in different ways, you know. You can be mean with the attitudes, with the words, and it doesn't need to be a yelling mode. So
very, very much so. I agree wholeheartedly with that position. And like I said, I appreciate that. I think more than the vocally aggressive approach to it.
Plus, your mic gets all sort of distortions. So you have to, there's like an added technicality that you have to deal with.
People who record into their phone, and I did, and I'm sure that's how the majority of us probably got into recording our first audio, is on our phone. Learning those techniques and how to be loud without peaking your audio, and making, somebody once left a comment of mine, said on a ramble fap of mine, it hurt my ears, is what they said, because it did sort of peak at a couple of points.
That's not what you want to receive as a comment.
No, but then my response was, turn it down. You know, so
yeah, exactly.
It's not rocket science. Yeah. Just turn it down, man. But I get it. Yeah. I get it when you're not expecting that sharp, piercing, peak. So, yes, loud and aggressive, I don't normally do, but it does happen from time to time. But, yeah, learning as I go. Then how to edit that as well, and how to
So I mean, as you see, like I've really thought through. I've had over the past 2 months, I've been building content. I've really thought through what are the sort of strengths and weaknesses, or what are the areas I want to target with my voice. And I've just had that little thinking of so now I sort of know what I want to do, what I can do from a technical angle, and it really is helpful to do something coherent and that you enjoy. So
yeah,
I can just focus on scripts.
Yeah, and obviously people are responding to quite favorably. I would see. I'm just having.
Yeah, I mean, small scale, as I said, but yeah, it's always nice.
We all start somewhere. But yes, I think. What are we at? 500 followers. Goodness me, things like that just blow my mind. I hit a significant number the other day, and I was like, what really?
Yeah, I mean, it's
really,
everyone has their own thing, right? So yeah. 500, I'm like, I don't really attach importance to milestones.
It's not why you're here,
things like that.
Yeah.
It's not why I'm here, but it's still it's a bit abstract to see that you have people following you and listening to you, and for me, I just take it as it's going in the right direction. You're doing something that people want to hear again, which is great. But it sort of is dwarfed by people who have like thousands and thousands. I mean, I'm just like a small stone, and that's fine with me. So
yeah, and I guess that always comes back to, what is your motivation for being in the space? Is it to, get fake internet fame? Is it to what are you going to do with Reddit fame, really? Come on. Unless you are going intending to monetize, that's different.
So for me, I clearly don't, and that's really, I don't want to monetize. I'm just happy. I thought about when I wanted to do audio stuff, I was thinking, so how do I start? I looked at the different platforms, and it's basically there's some pay platforms, and I was thinking, so what do? You create your content and you post it and you propose it. And probably it wouldn't have worked at all, because I had no experience writing and all of that. So that wouldn't have worked. And then I saw the Reddit community, GWA, and I was like, okay, actually this hits everything, because it's a community. The content is for free. And you're able to get feedback from a lot, much wider base than other pay platforms, and you're able to build connections with writers and all of that. And that seems like a very interesting field to be a community to be part of. Even by thinking about that, I even underestimated the connections you can build in here and the collaborations you can build, which is, far and above what I had in mind when I joined. So.
Yeah, likewise. I agree with you. It's not something I was aware of prior to starting, but I, particularly on the community side, the creator community aspect, it's quite incredible. I think we're all in a similar sort of position. It would seem we're all just moaning into a mic, really. The VAs.
Well, some are writing.
The VAs.
And some are editing as well.
That's
so,
it. So, and that's why with this sort of little get in my ears side project, it really is about looking at the whole ecosystem. As who said that? Lucy did. Fairy Princess Lucy just said it is an ecosystem, and it really is, because it is like a symbiotic relationship between all of us. Particularly this month is Scriptwriter Appreciation Month, so get amongst it. Support your scriptwriters. I adore them. I think they are very undervalued, and even more so, I think editors are undervalued. But the whole we work, unless, and look, there are obviously the people that come in and they, you know, they drop their audio and leave because yeah. they may be on other platforms. But yeah, I really appreciate the community aspect of that. And the more of these that I do, I was just like, yeah, we can support each other and we can learn from each other. And we have such a wealth of knowledge between us that, you know, we can potentially share.
So. Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's like I put really the writers at the top of the pedestal. Because writing a script takes a lot of time.
It does.
And it's a thought process. It's not just time on the computer. You're just thinking about it. You know, when you're doing other stuff, when you're working or living your own life outside of GWA, and you know, voicing it. You know, you're taking the script. If you're doing a cold read like you and I do, you're just spending 40 minutes on it, maybe an hour max.
Yeah.
And you're done, and you do some editing.
Walk away. Yeah.
And just walk away, and they've spent a week, 2 weeks, sometimes more.
Amazes me.
Being happy, unhappy about it, frustrated, you know, and there you are. You just, you know, in 2 hours, you're done.
We just read the words, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
well, that's how I feel about it.
I think it's really important. Yeah. And for me, I always make an emphasis of, you know, if people really like the script, the characters in the comments, just to remind, you know, listeners that the words come from them, and it's that should not be forgotten.
1,000%. Yeah. And on that note, I am really looking forward to what scripts you come up with, and whether they're collaborative or, you know, in original content or of your own that you begin to create on your own. I'm really excited to see where you go in this space and yeah, where it takes you and how you develop and, you know, sort of establish yourself. So
thank you very much.
Peter, thank you for joining me in the Wicked Wardrobe today. It's been a delight, and I look forward to seeing you in the wild.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon then. Bye-bye.
Bye.